Spirit and in truth, and I always leave encouraged, and I hope you do too, as we think about the things that we involve ourselves in upon the first day of the week, to be able to go to God as our Father in prayer, and to give unto God as He has prospered us, to sing praise unto God, to remember the Lord's dead till He come, and to be able to open up the pages of the Bible, and to teach from God's Word. That encourages me, and I hope you can say the same. I encourage you to take your Bible out, follow along with us, and make sure that what we say is right. And if you feel like I missed the mark, if I get something wrong, you're certainly not going to hurt my feelings if you say, "Preacher, I disagree with you." We'll just sit down with the Bible and see what the Bible says. If I'm wrong about it, I'll be honest about it. I'll admit it, make correction from the pulpit about it, and never preach it again, that God would be pleased with those things. Appreciate the visitors being with us, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come and be with us every opportunity you have. I did mention Mark, and let me say this before I forget. The Brinks family is, I think, in Michigan this week, and that's why they're not here. And so we need to continue to remember them and others in our prayer. 10 lessons from 10 virgins taken from Matthew chapter 25. I give you an easy way to remember this teaching that the Lord gave on the importance of being prepared for the return of the Lord. A good way to remember that is because you have several lessons dealing with preparation in Matthew 24 and Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 24, of course, the Lord is being questioned about when the destruction of Jerusalem would take place and when He would come again, and He answers that question. And then in Matthew chapter 25, He talks about the importance of being prepared, and you remember that the chapter ends with a great vivid picture of the judgment day. That these will go into everlasting punishment, those on the left, but the righteous into life eternal, Matthew 25 and in verse 46. And so you can remember these lessons, and several of them are given for us in the book of Matthew, by remembering Matthew chapters 24 and 25. In Matthew chapter 24, just if you want, jot this down, verses 36 through 44, He talks about the Lord does the danger of no preparation. Then in verses 45 through 51 of Matthew 24, He talks about the dangers of delayed preparation. In Matthew 25, which was our scripture reading, Ray did a very good job in reading that. The first 13 verses, the dangers of partial preparation. In Matthew 25, 14 through 30, examples of proper and improper preparation. And then 25, verses 31 through 46, the result of one's preparation. So in Matthew 24 and 25, you've got all these lessons about the ever-pressing need and importance of being prepared for the Lord's coming, because we don't know when He's going to come. 10 lessons from 10 virgins. I hope that it'll be profitable to you. The first one that I want you to think about is the fact that the foolishness of not being prepared. Some people make no preparation for the Lord's return. And many people believe in the Lord's return, but they don't do anything about it. They don't do anything at all to get prepared and to stay prepared for the Lord's return. And it's a very foolish thing to do that. You'll notice as Matthew 25 verse 1, and the chapter opens up, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Watch verse 2. "Five of them were wise and five were foolish." You know why the five were counted as being foolish? They were not prepared as they should have been. And so it's a very foolish thing to not be prepared for the return of the Lord, knowing that He's going to come. And if you're here this morning, you don't believe the Lord is going to come, then you need to keep reading your Bible. You've just not come across it yet, probably. It's there. And I'll give you some passages about that in just a moment. But you need to get prepared today. Tomorrow is not yet come and may never come. James 4 and then verse 14. I recently shared with you about 12, 13, 14, however many it was, descriptions from the Bible on the brevity of life. Remember that? "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You're here today and you may be gone by tomorrow. What I say to you, I say to me. And so today is the day to get prepared for the Lord's return. He may come back before you die. And you may die before He comes back. We don't know. And so in light of that, we need to get prepared. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow, someone says. I wonder how many people died before today came, when yesterday they were making plans about, now tomorrow I'll get up and I'll go do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, verse 1. So do it today. Lesson 2 you can learn, the individual responsibility of being prepared. Your mama, your daddy, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your in-laws, whatever the case may be, your cousin upon cousin and fifth removed, whatever it might be, cannot prepare for you or for me. I've got to prepare. I've got to do what God says to do so that I can be ready when the Lord comes. In verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You might want to underscore for yourselves. There's things that I have to do that you can't do for me. And being prepared for the Lord's return is one of them. And so it do no good to think that someone else can do some things for me along those lines. I've got to do it. Philippians chapter 2 and then verse 12. Make your calling and election sure. Today, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible talks about Ezekiel 18, verses 4 and 20, talks about the need to be prepared as an individual. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so don't trust that someone else has done what they should do and that it is somehow transferred to you. It will not. You got to do what God tells you to do. And so do I. Now that does not mean, as you think about Philippians chapter 4 verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That don't mean you be saved the way you want to be saved and I'll be saved the way that I want to be saved. No, we're all saved the same way as we walk according to the same rule, Philippians 3:16. But that's a picture of individual responsibility. So we need to learn that lesson. And then we need to learn the lesson that from this chapter, Matthew 25, the insufficiency of having a lamp with no oil. I think I shared with you a long time ago. Me and my brother went to the top of one of the mountains over where we were living, and it was so dark that night. And he had the battery light. That's what my dad used to coon hunt. And when we got ready to go home, you know what he did to me? He took off with the light and left me. He got to run home safely. I fell down the mountain getting home, but I made it home. Without light, you can't see. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist declared in Psalm 119, 104, and 105. It'd do you no good to have a flashlight with no battery. You got to have all that's necessary in order to see. And sometimes people will pick here and pick there and not do all that God says to do. We've got to do all that God says to do, but as you think about being fully prepared, do you no good to have a lamp with no oil? And that's what the foolish ones did. In James chapter 2 and in verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet if in one point he's guilty of all, do all that God said to do. To him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin, James chapter 4 and in verse 17. In Revelation 22:14, you got to keep the commandments of God if you want to go to heaven. And so don't just do part, do all of it. Got to go all the way with it and not part of the way. And that's a lesson that we can learn from these 10 virgins, at least from 5 of them. The foolishness of taking a lamp and no oil with it. But also, we need to learn the fact that confessing the Lord is not enough. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 11 of Matthew 25. Afterward came also the other virgins, that would be the foolish ones, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Do you think they realized who the bridegroom was? Do you think they realized who the Lord was? The text indicates they did. Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Saying that Jesus is Lord, and which is a true statement, is not enough. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke chapter 6 and in verse 46. We know that He's Lord, Acts 2 and in verse 36. We've studied about that in our Bible class on Sunday morning. God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Also Matthew 25 verse 11 teaches us that. Not everyone that saith unto me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7, verse 21. So, to say Lord, Lord, to acknowledge He's Lord, is not enough to the saving of the soul. You've got to be prepared, you've got to obey Him. But also we learn that the Son of Man will return. I've shared with you many times from the book of 2 Peter how that in the last days scoffers would come. That word scoffer is a mocker, someone who would just kick against the truth, saying, where is the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have been. Verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, just because He's not come back yet does not mean that He is not going to come back. We know that He is. Because the very word that tells us that He came once is the same word that tells us He will come again the second time. By the way, which knocks the props out from under the foolish false teaching of premillennialism that says He's going to come again and then again. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say He's coming again to rapture away the saved and then He's coming again to establish a kingdom on earth. The Bible says He came the first time and then He's coming back the second time. Didn't say anything about the third or fourth. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So then that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so the Lord is going to come again. Matthew 25 and in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What other passages talk about the return of the Lord? I told you about Matthew 25 and Acts chapter 1. The book of Revelation is filled full of scriptures that talk about the Lord's return. Behold, He come quickly, and every eye shall see Him. They also that pierced Him, and all nations shall wail because of Him. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And when you get, that's in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. When you get to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22, 7. Behold, I come quickly, Revelation 22, verse 12. Surely I come quickly, Revelation 22 and then verse 20. And so the Bible over and over talks about the fact that Jesus is coming again. Well, what's important about that? What we're studying, be prepared, get prepared, stay prepared, because the Lord is going to come. Behold, the day of the Lord will come. 2 Peter 3 and then verse 9. But also we need to understand, we can learn from this, that we don't know when He's going to come. Along the way, a lot of people have tried to set dates and times as to when the Lord's going to come. I just, a while back, finished up a series for a Bible class. And one of the things I set forth in there was the many times, I didn't put all the times, but the many times that individuals have set dates for the Lord's return. Guess what? You know how many of all of them were wrong? All of them. That's right. All of them were wrong. If they just simply read the Bible, the same book that tells us He came and that He's coming again is the same book that tells us that we don't know when He's coming. I'll give you some passages that talk about that in Matthew chapter 25, our text. Matthew 25, and notice what the Bible says in verse 13. As I just read to you, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24, verses 42 and 44. You can write these down, get an outline in the back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 2. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. A thief don't say now. Be on the lookout at 11 o'clock. I'm going to bust into your garage and take your chainsaw, your weed eater. He does it unawares. At a time he thinks no one's prepared. Well, why would the Lord say that? Concerning watch, because you don't know. So you get prepared and stay prepared, so when he does come, you're prepared to meet him and to be right when he returns. So we don't know when the Lord's going to come. Well, what else can I learn from it? 10 lessons from 10 virgins. I can learn the lesson. The urgency of getting prepared. Not delaying for the Lord's return. I shared with you passages about the brevity of life. Matthew 25, verse 13. You don't know when, so you need to watch. You need to be ready. Matthew 24, 42. You notice the passage again, Matthew chapter 24 and then verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord hath come. Then in verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. When folks least expect it, the Lord will come. I know that He's coming one day because His Word says that He will. So we need to think about the urgency of being prepared in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2 as Paul is writing to the saints at Colossae. Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And as you come over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, notice what Peter writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Don't allow your thinking to be clouded up. Be sober and watch unto prayer. The urgency of watching. Then I want to point out that the Lord knows not everyone. When I say that, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't know someone exists. God knows all things. The Lord knows all things. We understand that. But the Lord does not recognize everybody as His own. Not everybody is in the family of God. You can be. It's made available to you. But you've got to get yourself in the family of God by doing what the Lord said to do in order to be in His family. I know that the Lord doesn't recognize everybody because in Matthew 25:12, when they said, Lord, Lord, open unto us, verse 11, He answered and said unto them, verily or truly, as some versions say, I say unto you, I know you not. Can't help but to think about Matthew 7:21-23. Mentioned so many times in verse 23, He says, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Lawlessness. You're doing things, but you don't have my authority. And as a result of that, the Lord said, I never knew you. Well, the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, listen to the seal, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth them that are His. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 assures us if we'll come out from the world and be separate from things of the world, then we'll be sons and daughters of God and He'll be our Father. But also I need to learn, number 9, that the door will be shut. It's number 10 on the outline, but I switched it around last minute. My prerogative, I'm the preacher today. I switched it around on you. Because I want to say that next point last. The door will be shut, Matthew 25 and then verse 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in. Now watch this. Went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Here to tell us all today that one of these days, time will be no more and the door of opportunity will forever be closed. Back when God instructed Noah to build the ark, 8 souls were saved by water. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. The door was shut and all those on the outside perished. And one of these days when time is no more, if you're not on the inside of the body of Christ, the door is forever closed. And there'll be nothing you can do about it then. So why not get prepared today by obedience to the gospel of Christ before the door is forever shut, when it'll be too late? And I know it'll be too late when we talk about Luke chapter 16, verse 26, Lazarus and the rich man. Both of them died. Lazarus went to a place of comfort, referred to as the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. But he requested that Abraham would send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented this flame. Too late. Too late for comfort now. You should have got prepared while you was living, in essence. And beside this, you know what he said next? Besides this, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which will cross from you to us or us to you cannot. The door is shut. And I don't know when that's going to be, and neither do you. Last point. As you think about that passage again, in Matthew 25:10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now watch this. Underscored in your Bible or in your mind. They that were ready went in. You know who enters in through the gates into the city, Revelation 22:14? The prepared. It's often been said that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. The Bible talks about that in John 14. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:1-6. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, the Lord told, will say to those on the right, as recorded in Matthew 24. Have you prepared? You have to do that by obedience to the gospel of Christ. Obey Him. Romans 1, Romans 16, and Hebrews chapter 5, and Revelation 22, and other passages talk about obedience. Obedience to the faith. Romans 1 and Romans 16. You get prepared by obeying. You stay prepared by keeping His commandments. Abiding in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. You stay prepared by being faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2 and then verse 10. Are you prepared? Preacher, I'm not prepared. What do I have to do to get prepared? Well, we've talked about in these 10 lessons from 10 virgins. Let me share with you how to become a Christian. How to get prepared. Get in the Lord's church so you can serve God all the days of your earthly pilgrimage. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, turning from the ways of the world is to change your mind, and turning to God, and doing what God says to do, without which will perish, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ, like the eunuch did, as recorded in Acts 8:37. 36 and 37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and then verse 38. That's the only way one can become a Christian. It's the only thing the Bible tells us to do to become a Christian, without addition, without subtraction, and without substitution. Preacher, I have done that. I used to be prepared. I obeyed the gospel, but I've not been faithful. And if the Lord came right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. Then why not be restored? Why not repent of your unfaithfulness and make confession of those things unto God in prayer? 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.